Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today, it's going to be a little bit different from Mind Power. Mind Power is important, and it's combined with Body Power. You've got a team that is absolutely phenomenal. It means that you've got wellness in your court, you've got strength in your court, and it's going to give you the stamina and the energy that you need to be able to get things done and to have a rich, fulfilling life. Well, today we've got a wonderful guest. Joan Pagano is my guest. We're going to talk about strength training for women. And I really think this is so important. I can't emphasize it enough. And ladies, you don't have to worry about it. You're not going to end up looking like an Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, that's not the way it goes. What it means is you're going to have a healthy body. Joan Pagano, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you so much for having me.
You really are quite an interesting woman. I was so impressed with your book. I get a lot of material, and it's fascinating to me how beautifully this book is put together. Its size is easy to work with. The photographs that are in it are just outstandingly well done. But I want my audience to know about you and your background. You are certified by the American College of Sports Medicine in health and fitness instruction, and they really have very high standards. And since 1988, you have been working as a professional fitness trainer on Manhattan's Upper East Side. And this is something you obviously have a passion for because you've been doing it for 20 years plus. And you also have people that work with you on this. And you really, really, and getting this book out, is this your first book that you've done?
This is the first of five, and it continues to be a bestseller. This book has sold more than 500,000 copies around the world. Mm-hmm. I have a venerable British publisher, Dorling Kindersley. They go by DK in the United States. And my books were all produced in London. I would go over to London to do the photo shoots and work with the team there in order to produce the book. So anywhere that the British Empire had a colonial toehold, the books are distributed. So India, Africa, Australia, Canada, the UK, all of their colonies, as well as all over Western Europe, Finland, Sweden, the Scandinavian countries, and of course the United States. So I'm very proud of the fact that I can reach so many women with my message, because my message does grow out of working with people one-on-one. So it's a thrilling for me to think that I can reach people and receive emails from women all over the world who have found my books.
I think it's particularly significant because, to my surprise, and I would say also it's a little distressing, when you see someone you haven't seen for a couple of years, and that happened just this past Sunday to me, and that's why when this occurred, I knew the interview was coming up, and I went, oh, my goodness, this poor woman, she needs to know that she doesn't have to have osteoporosis. And I looked at the curvature of her spine. Now, she never did have real good posture. But now that she's getting close to her 60s, she has got that dowager's hump, and this is not somebody that's obese. This is someone that just is not aware of the way she is compressing. The bones are just, they're just taking a positioning that is very sad to see. And if she understood really how valuable exercise is, this would go away. It actually could be corrected. I've seen it corrected in people.
Well, if you're talking about posture, you know, posture you can definitely correct. So if it's just postural that she's holding herself in that position, she really can improve her posture with a combination of strength training and stretching. If the bones have become deformed, because the vertebrae of the spine are one of the areas of the body where the trabecular bone, which is the bone that osteoporosis most affects because it's a weaker structure of bone than the cortical bone, which is the hard bone and the long bones of our body. If the vertebrae have been affected and they've taken a wedge shape as they've become crushed, then she's going to have a much harder time straightening up. So that's why it's so important to get the message out at an early age that osteoporosis is not a disease that affects only older women. There's something that you can be doing about it, about building a healthy skeleton from childhood and adolescence on through every stage of the lifespan. And we do need to catch it while we can correct our posture and before it becomes a structural problem.
I agree. Now, that's one of the things that you start off with in your book right off the bat. You go through the different age categories. Of course, young people, they don't really think that that's very important. And I have to tell you, I'm really appalled at how poorly a lot of the young people are even remotely educated about the fact that posture really makes a difference. And you can look at a lot of them and you realize that if they don't do something to really keep themselves in good alignment, they're going to have problems when they're in their 20s. And you go through young adulthood in your book, how important strength training is. Now, this isn't overkill. I mean, you don't go out there to try to become a bodybuilder. That's wonderful if you want to do it. I have a lot of respect for people that do that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about working the body so that it's going to be healthier, stronger, and your middle years, it keeps you toned. And when women do it in their 70s and 80s, I think of Jack LaLanne's wife. I mean, her husband just passed away. He was 96. She's 80-something. When you see that woman, she's been a guest on the show, my goodness. Her posture, everything about, you know, she said, well, that's, she's been, you know, married to someone where physical fitness was really important. But she looks fabulous. She's
in
her 80s.
Quite a couple.
Just amazing.
But you know, Donna, there were studies that were done in the 80s at the Tufts Center for Aging in Boston where they took 7 elderly, frail nursing home residents and gave them a program of progressive resistance training, meaning that they very gradually increased the amount of weight. And at one time, we were afraid that this frail population would be injured by lifting weights. So this was quite daring that they studied the effect of strength training on people that were compromised in some way. And the shocking thing was that they improved their strength by 175% in about 10 weeks. And 2 of them were able to walk unassisted. In other words, they were able to throw away the cane and the walker that they had been using and were able to walk unassisted because strength training improves your stability, your balance, your walking ability. And what you were saying before is true. It's wonderful for toning the muscles and building the bone and just has so many health benefits that it's very empowering in every sense of the word. It's empowering to the body. And because you can do more, you can be self-reliant, more independent, longer in life. It's very functional. The benefits have a very functional transfer to everyday activities. So you can get through the day with greater ease just because you're stronger now and you can do your daily activities without as much strain to the body.
I agree. And I think that's so important. And especially with older people, they need to know that if they keep themselves flexible and if they work with the weights, they're going to have good balance. I don't know what the statistics are, but the people that have falls lose their balance is just so high, you know, from the 60s on. It's amazing. And women especially can be very vulnerable to that. But if they keep themselves physical, we had someone here, someone that was 89 years old. Apparently, she went out running every day. And this was part of her physical fitness regimen. And someone tried to attack her, and she beat him up.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's a great story.
I
love that.
Yo, for her. I'm not glad somebody tried to attack her, but she just absolutely just fought him.
That's
and,
great.
You know, you look at this, but here is someone at 89 years of age that is taking the time to take care of herself. And this is invaluable. Now, let's talk about some of the myths regarding training. You have some wonderful things in here. I sort of threw it out, the myth about bulking up. We women just don't do that. In fact, if women do want to bulk up, they have to, if they're in bodybuilding, they really have to work pretty hard to even get a remote development. Am I correct?
That's right. We just don't have the hormones to build big muscles. You need a lot of testosterone to do that, and we simply don't have it. So we're more likely to just sculpt the muscles, which gives them a better shape, makes them firmer, makes us stronger, makes clothing fit better. So we're just going to get more sculpted. And for women who do achieve that bodybuilding look, they perhaps have more testosterone. Perhaps they're genetically predisposed to having muscles like that. And plus, they follow very strenuous nutrition and training programs in order to get that ripped cut look.
Yes, they do. And most of us aren't going to even want to spend the time because it's hours. These people are very, very dedicated to that. And if they can't maintain it, that's something else too that women don't realize. Even if they do that, and it's the same with the male bodybuilders, not so much with them as it is with a female, but they can't maintain that sculpted what you'd call bulk up look if you look at the
ripped.
The thank
ripped
you
look.
Very much. The ripped look. They can't maintain that. I mean, 2 days or a week after they stop doing whatever they're doing, it's gone. I mean, it's that fast. The woman's body is just different. And some guys can maintain it, but even then they have to work at it for a lot of time. But let's talk about fat and lean muscle here. Can we spot reduce? Is there a way of doing that? Because that is something that people say is a myth. You can't do that.
Right. You can't spot reduce, but you can spot strengthen. In other words, if there is an area of your body that you want to work on, like let's say your thighs or your belly, what you can do is you can really do exercises in proper form that will help you flatten your belly or tighten up your thighs, but you cannot spot reduce them. When you lose weight, you need to do a combination of cardiovascular or aerobic exercise to burn calories from your total body, and you need to do weight training in order to build lean body mass, and they both have benefits. The fat cells of the body give up fat. When you lose weight aerobically or through aerobic exercise, if you've ever known anybody who started an aggressive aerobic training program, let's say they're training for a marathon, the overall impression is that they shrink because the fat cells give up fat from all over the body, so you'll lose fat proportionately. If you've always had big thighs, your thighs will still be proportionately larger. But all of the fat cells in the body give up fat, so that's the beauty of aerobic exercise. The beauty of strength training is that as you build lean body mass, you raise your resting metabolic rate. So a lean body is a power-hungry body, and it expends more calories just breathing, digesting food, circulating blood, sleeping, doing all the physiological functions that we do automatically in the day requires more calories from a lean body. And you also notice, by the way, when you go to the butcher store, the difference between the size of a 3-pound roast and 3 pounds of fat. Fat takes up a lot more space. I'll never forget Oprah's grand entrance when she had lost 57 pounds years ago. And to make her point, she got 57 pounds of animal fat and put it on a little red wagon and dragged it onto the stage to make a point that that's how much fat, it takes up a lot of space. It was a huge mountain of fat. Mm-hmm. So when you do strength training, you are building lean body mass, which is compact and makes you look more compact. And then the aerobic exercise helps to melt away any overlying fat, so you get the benefit of seeing all the toning that you've done to the muscle.
You talk about different ways of working with the body. I live in the Pacific Northwest, and the weather is not always conducive. And I've got a little Scottish Terrier, so we're either out walking, but I make a point of trying to do something physically every single day. And schedules sometimes are wild and wacky, but you have different tools that you suggest to people. They can use free weights if they want. There are elastic bands that can be used. You use balls that people balance on. And there's all of these different techniques. You have the exercises where people can use their own body as leverage, their own weight to work for them. You have all of this. And I was intrigued with one exercise in here, squats, using the wall with squats. Talk about that for a bit. And squats are something that if people have knee problems, they'll just say, not even going to go there, especially
right.
If they're older. So tell us about this exercise using the wall.
Well, first of all, if I were to give you one exercise for life, it would be a squat, because it is the movement that we need. It's a very functional movement. It's the one that we need to get up from a seated position, to get up from a chair, to get up from the toilet, to get up from the bathtub. So we really need to be able, in order to maintain our function, we need to be able to do some sort of a squat. They can be tough on the knees. So if you have knee problems, one way that you can kind of test yourself out and also get the benefit is doing a wall slide where you're leaning against the wall with your feet out about 2.5 of your own foot length in front of you, so that when you slide down the wall, your knees would come right over your ankles. In other words, you want to be in a chair position. And that would be the full wall slide, is coming down to a right angle at the thighs and the knees. But if you're just testing yourself out, you can come part way down. You can come a quarter of the way down or a halfway down, and you will feel your quadriceps start to burn in the front of your thighs. And this is one way that you can start building up strength in the muscles that support the knee. If, however, a squat is really not a possibility for you because of knee conditions, then you can do other kinds of calisthenic exercises like leg extensions, where you're seated in a chair and you straighten your leg so that your knee is straight, you're straight from the hip to the ankle. But honestly, if there's any possibility that you can do a squat, I really advocate that you try. Another nice way to do the squat where you're leaning a bit of body weight against the wall is to put one of those big stability balls behind you. And again, you're leaning your weight against the wall and your feet are out about 2.5 of your own foot length forward, so that when you slide down, your knees wind up over your ankles. That's very important to protect the joints. You don't want your knees forward of your toes. You want to keep them back over your ankles. And anyway, you have this big stability ball. You're leaning against it, so it feels nice on the low back. And then you slide down the wall. The ball goes with you, and you go down until you feel your quadriceps burning. And there are many different variations of squats, starting with those two, and then going into a what we call a sit-to-stand squat, where you would simply get up from a chair. And then the next most advanced variation would be a stand-to-sit squat, where you're standing in front of a chair and you sit as if you were going to sit into the chair, but instead of sitting down, you just tap the seat and come right back up again. And eventually, if you wanted to do a more progressive strength training program, you would add weights. But the squat is the best exercise. Of all, the squat is the best exercise. For functional reasons.
Women notoriously do not have good upper body strength, and it's very easy for them to lose that. Now, you'd expect that if we're mothers and we're carrying babies and all this stuff, that would not be the case. But for just physiologically, the way often it is with women, if they don't work at keeping that strength up. And you have push-ups, and push-ups, most people, when they think of them, men or women, doesn't make any difference. They go, please, that is the last thing I want to do. It is really difficult when you do them on the floor, but you have got some push-up demonstrations in your book where someone can use a kitchen counter or even a wall. And I really liked your suggestion. Tell us about these wall push-ups.
Again, there's a variation of the push-up that will work for everybody. I'm a firm believer in that. And in the book, you're hitting on two of the major, what I call the four for life exercises, which give you a mini fitness conditioning routine for the body just using your own body weight. We were talking about the squats a minute ago. The squats work all the major muscles of the upper part of the leg, the glutes in the butt, the hamstrings in the back of the thigh and the quads in the front of the thigh, as well as you need flexibility in the ankles and you need to be able to hold your torso straight. There's a forward lean to the torso, but your spine needs to be straight. So you have nearly a full body exercise. When you add the push-up in, you're getting three major muscle groups of the upper body. You're getting the chest, the shoulders, and the tricep in the back of the arm, which is a traditional trouble spot that all women want to train. And you can do push-ups, again, by varying the amount of resistance using shifts of your body weight. So if you're standing parallel to a wall with your arms extended in front of you, and you lower your chest to the wall, your arms are straight to begin, and then you bend your elbows so that you lower yourself to the wall, you're lifting the least amount of body weight of all of these variations that I'm describing. So that's a very good starting position, also because you don't have to get down to the floor, you don't have to change your clothes. I highly recommend that everybody find a wall push-up station in their home, that every time they pass it, they think to do 10 wall push-ups. Then if you want to progress a little bit, you can do a kitchen counter push-up where your body is on a diagonal now, so you've shifted more body weight to the upper body, the muscles that are going to be working, and you lower yourself down towards the kitchen counter. So everybody's got a kitchen counter, so that could become your push-up station. If you want to progress, you go to the floor and you do push-ups from the knees, what we call the woman's push-up. And then you progress to a full body push-up, which we think of as a man's push-up, from the toes. So there are variations of all of these exercises that will work for everybody. And I think they're classic exercises. They're timeless. Just imagine if you did nothing else but push-ups and squats, that you would be getting toning exercises, strengthening exercises for your upper body, three major muscle groups of the upper body, and about, four for the lower body. And you've got your core engaged in both of those exercises because you have to hold your torso straight. You have to hold the spine in alignment, whether you're doing a squat or a push-up. And because of that, you're activating your abdominal muscles and your spinal muscles, what we call the core body. So they're fantastic exercises.
You have so many wonderful photographs in here. I just love the way your book is arranged because the photographs are done in what I would say as a visual alignment, that if someone wanted to prop a book up, they're going to be able to watch what's in the book and do what they need to do very, very easily and very, very readily. And you have so many, you show what it's like to use certain equipment in the gym, if people like to go to the gym. So this is a handy book that people can carry with them. You also show the rubber bands and using a full treatment for the back. Many times women will get a fleshiness in the back. Does this help to diminish that fleshiness in the back? It's very irritating. That seems to be one of the most difficult places to remove what often women feel it's like a roll.
Right, the roll or a bra bulge over the band
yes.
of the bra.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, these exercises will help because they will strengthen and tone the muscles underneath. And then you also do need to do your walking program or biking or hiking or dancing, any of the aerobic activities that you like to do in order to diminish any overlying fat on top of the muscle. Because if you could be very strong and your muscles can be very toned, but if you're carrying fat over them, you're never going to see the results of your hard work. So a well-rounded fitness program is strength training, cardio exercise, and stretching. And every fitness program should have elements of those three things, strength training, cardio or aerobic exercise, and stretching or flexibility work in order to be a well-rounded workout.
You mentioned the word core, and I think that that is very important. That is directly related to strengthening the body so that you do have good posture. You also have some neck exercises in here, that some head tilts that I think are very good, because many times people are working at computers for long hours, and I know I'll catch myself sort of sitting with my back sort of curved, my shoulders forward, I'm looking at the screen, and I think that's literally a common posture for a lot of people that are working at computers. They just don't pay attention unless they're consciously present with their posture. And man, that can really do a number on your neck. What would you recommend for people to do if they're in the office and they're finding that their shoulders and their neck are really, really stressed?
You know, the stretches that you're referring to will help relieve tension. But in order to reverse the forward slouch that you describe, which is really a postural problem that we all kind of fall into because all of our daily habits are done to the front. As you say, we computerize to the front, we do desk work to the front, we carry to the front, everything is to the front. Over time, the chest muscles become short and tight and the back muscles long and weak. So in order to reverse that forward slouch, you literally need to strengthen the mid-back muscles and strengthen the muscles in the back of the neck and the upper back, and there are two really simple exercises that you can do. One is a chin press. So you take two fingers and you put them on your chin. Take a big breath in, and then as you exhale, you push your chin straight back. We call it retracting the chin, so that you press the curve out of the back of your neck. And if you're doing it right, you will feel the muscles in the back of your neck and the upper back tighten. So you're kind of pushing very gently, not hard. The two fingers on your chin are just a cue, really. The action is really pulling your chin in. But you're really retraining the position of your head so that it's not forward of your shoulders. And then the other exercise that I love that you can do at your desk anytime that will help this postural issue are W's. And for W's, you hold your arms out to the sides at shoulder level with your palms facing forward and the elbows bent. So you're kind of like in a hold-up position. If somebody said stick them up, that's where you would be. Take a big breath in and then pull your shoulder blades down and together. And as you do that, your elbows will drop and your arms will form a W. And you can do those like 10 times a day, chin tucks, chin press or chin tuck, and W's. Anytime you think of it will help not only strengthen those muscles, but it will help you remember to think about them and think about your posture, because half of the postural training is awareness. You can strengthen all those muscles, but if you don't have the awareness to pull your shoulder blades down and together and pull your chin, make your chin level and bring your head into alignment, it's not going to happen. You need the awareness as well.
Well, I know we're just about out of time now. You're in Manhattan, and
yes,
people are coming to you for personal training. You've done this wonderful, wonderful book, The Strength Training for Women, and you say it's the first in a series of five books. You have a website that people can go to. Tell us that website, and what are they going to find there?
Oh, sure. It's JoanPaganoFitness.com. And my last name is P-A-G as in George, A-N-O, JoanPaganoFitness.com. You will find so many free resources on my website. There are audio recordings. There are articles. There is a description of my exercise method. My blog is very active. In fact, Donna, you are on my blog I wanted people to know that I would be being interviewed by you today. So all of the time, sure, all of the timely topics that I've contributed to as a media source are on my blog. There's just it's a fun website. There's lots of information, including a little audio on how I came to train Jackie Onassis, which we didn't touch on But I am the former trainer to Jacqueline Onassis and Caroline Kennedy as well. So there's a free audio on my website that you can listen to how I came to train them.
Wow. Well, that would be a fascinating story to read. Well, Joan, this has been an absolute delight. And for those of you who are listening, I can tell you, keeping yourself in shape means that your heart's going to be healthier, your thinking is going to be clearer. If you're under a lot of stress, it is a wonderful way to help get the kinks out of your mind, body, spirit system. So her strength training book for women is a very, very good book to add to your library, conveniently sized so you can take it with you. If you're a business traveler, it will be easy to use. Joan Picano, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was a delight having you.
My pleasure, Donna. Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
It's time to get your glow on at the Northwest Women's Show, a show that's all about you. 400 exhibits, 4 entertainment stages, fascinating seminars, and best of all, shopping, shopping, shopping. New this year is the Glow Experience. 5 fun and easy steps to help you make the most of your time at the show. Meet Terry Haas from HGTV's Design to Sell. Polly Klein, famous animal communicator. Dance diva Chris Linares, who will help you unleash all the power you need to dance your own dance. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney, favorite authors Anne and Leslie Rule. And they're back! Seattle's hottest firefighters. Bring your mom, your daughter, your sister, your friends. The Northwest Women's Show, sponsored by Drugstore.com, American Family Insurance, BECU, Como TV, Beauty.com, and Green Smoke. It's electric. Get your glow on at Questfield Event Center March 4th through 6th. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do that. The telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Well, I wanted to share a quote with you because I think that with so many of us dealing with challenges every day, it's good to have something maybe to think about every once in a while. And this is by George Matthew Adams. He said, "There should be no age limits placed upon ambition, alertness, creativeness, or in fact, on anything that may mark the mental or spiritual progress of any human being. There's an old saying, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Obviously true. But on the other hand, even though many of our ventures come to no profitable end, the very fact that we ventured should be to our credit. People who stand still or who just watch from the sidelines of life only partly live. To venture and to only get fun out of it has a constructive angle to it. Keep venturing and you're never going to be dull." That is so true. Life is meant to be lived. Hard times can hit. Bad things can happen in life. Someone once said, just suck it up and move on. And I agree with them. It doesn't mean we don't acknowledge those things. But what are we going to give power to? What are we going to say that we're going to put our focus on? Is it going to be lack? Is it going to be the attitude that, oh, I can never do it? Our guest today was talking about being physically fit. This is her life. She's dedicated to it. She's training people. This is her work full time. But if we want to work with ourselves as individuals, we need to be alert and aware to the fact that we're better than a bank account. We're the greatest investment that we have. So if we don't invest in ourselves, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, exploring different venues of thought, then we have no one else but ourselves to blame if we don't find that as we get older, we're able to enjoy certain things in life. It really is a do-it-yourself project on many levels. And I think that this is so important. I encounter people that expect everything just to fall into their lap. It's like, oh, well, this is just the way it's supposed to be. I'm sorry, you've been watching too many movies. If you want to be healthy, if you want to have the energy to do the things that are meaningful to you, then you got to take care of your chassis. It's the same thing with your mind. If you do not nourish your mind, I just wrote an article for James Lowe, and I don't know when he's going to put it up. I've got to get the information on his magazine, but he asked me to contribute a column every month. If you don't nourish your mind, then how are you going to be able to expand? And I'm not asking you to become a physics professor. I am merely saying open your mind and attitudes up. Try to find out about something that you've never known before. It's really fun, number one, but it also makes you aware of things. Let me give you an example, and this is going to be so simple. We went to a local hardware store because we had noticed hummingbirds in our yard. Now, it's pretty cold here in the Pacific Northwest right now. We're having freezing temperatures. I recall reading that you don't put out feeders for hummingbirds until spring, and you take them in at the end of summer, because if you leave them out, they will stay, because that's food for them. They will stay, and then they'll die from the cold. Well, when we saw these hummingbirds, my husband said, gee, let's go get a feeder, because there's no flowers out. Well, there are flowers out here in the Pacific Northwest. The rhodies have already started to bloom. But there was nothing visible in our yard. Why were they there? So we went, got a hummingbird feeder, put it up. My husband did some research because I told him it's only sugar water. You don't use anything but sugar water. He said, oh, I bet you we could use honey. Well, he does research on the web and finds you cannot use honey when you're feeding hummingbirds because it'll make them sick. You don't do that. Only plain white sugar and water. These beautiful little birds use phenomenal amounts of energy. And I have been astonished, as my husband, when we have put that hummingbird feeder up, we didn't think that it was going to do very much good, really. It was too cold. But we learned from someone at the hardware store that there is a particular species of hummingbird that lives in this area year round. We had no idea. To our amazement, this past weekend, because we had put it up over the weekend, there were like four or five hummingbirds that came to that feeder, and it was cold, cold water. Amazing stuff. So you never know at all. And that's just a simple little example. I just thought I'd share that with you. It's a fun thing, but life is for living. Life is for experiencing, so go for it. It sounds like we've got a caller on the air, do we? I thought I heard a beep, but perhaps I was wrong. Okay, if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Yesterday, I promised you that I had a story for you it's about a wonderful woman named Caitlin. And I didn't have enough time yesterday to share it with you, and I wanted to do it today. It just fits so well with being physically fit. And I think that it's so important to understand how one person can make a difference. One person can motivate a change. One person can be an outstanding example in a way and manner never perceived. Okay, I think we do have a caller right now. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. We'll get to Caitlin's story in just a moment. Hi, caller.
Hi, Donna. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, it's my pleasure. First name or initial, please.
Steve. I'm calling from Canada.
All right, Steve. And where in Canada?
I'm calling from a city called Fredericton.
Wonderful. Well, I'm so glad. Excuse me?
It's the East Coast.
Right. Well, yeah, there's. I'll let you know right now, we've got a tiny bit of a time delay. So when I finish speaking, take a deep breath and then start in. Okay?
Okay.
All right. It's just that otherwise we'll talk over each other, and I'm aware of that, and I just wanted you to think that I didn't want you to think I was being rude by interrupting you. All right, let me give you what I'm looking at, Steve. The first thing that is coming into my mind is the word disappointment. And I think that the disappointment is happening because you have such a clear picture in your mind of what you are wanting to achieve. And you're so aware of your knowledge, your knowingness, and your expectation. The challenge that is going to be in front of you is that whoever you're going to be interacting with, they may not have that clarity. They may not be aware of it to the degree that you are. So it is so important for you to be patient with timing and circumstances. And I would love for you to join a group like Toastmasters that is going to enable you to feel the different and express yourself in different modalities so that you can be at ease with it. It's a wonderful group, and I think that they have them even up in Canada. And I really feel that if you can have a chance to practice, your communication skills are going to become sharper, and it's going to enable you to even become more effective in getting concepts and ideas across to other people. You've got a very dynamic year here. This is a hard-working year, but it's a dynamic year in that you're going to be meeting some movers and shakers who are going to want you to be a part of their team. So I think that you're going to find that this year is going to be filled with a lot more blessings than what you have perhaps been experiencing the past couple of years. So just take those experiences that you've had in stride. Don't get caught up with them. Just say, all right, this is what I learned, this is where I am, and then move on, because this year is picking you up and out of a rut that you feel you've been in, and you're coming out of it, and it's from your own efforts. So I want to congratulate you. You're doing a good job. What would you like to ask me today?
Thank you very much. Yes, I do want to ask a question. I'm going on a trip shortly on March 2nd, and it's an opportunity. I've been invited to visit a university, and I'm hoping to meet some movers and shakers and make some connections to help me find an opportunity to enter a PhD program. I'm wondering if you have any advice for me for this trip.
Well, first of all, give yourself enough time on this trip. For example, if let's say it took you a day to travel to wherever you were, add on maybe 3 days or 4 days so that you could sightsee around certain areas if you wanted to. But also, if you have the chance to visit with people, you'll be in a position to do so. And I know that the PhD program, whatever it is that you're looking at, there is a very small, tight environment for it. So there may be a suggestion to you or various suggestions given to you, and what you want to do is to develop relationships with people who will be supportive of you, who can show you how you can work the system, so to speak, to get what you want. Now, that sounds a little ugly when I say that. But many times, it's doing something that maybe you think is totally nonsensical, but yet it's part of what would be expected. And I think you're going to find that the door is going to be open for that PhD, but I don't know that it's this year. I could be wrong. I don't know that it would be this year that it would be open to you. But I think you need to find out about also some other environments that you possibly could be involved with besides this one. Is it just one university you're going to? Because I'm looking at three different universities.
I have one invitation to visit. I've applied for two. I'm thinking of applying to a third.
I'd recommend it. I'd recommend it. And are all of these in Canada, or is one in the United States?
These are all in Canada. They're close to the border.
All right. I am also looking at one in the United States that might be open to your application. But I'd apply at every single one in Canada that you possibly can. And if there is one in the United States that you could apply to, I'd do that as well.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
And much success to you, Steve. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-815-9756. That's a worldwide toll-free number, 888-815-9756. When we come back, we'll chat about Caitlin. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
We're back! The Northwest Women's Show with 400 exhibits, entertainment, seminars, the Glow Experience, fashion shows, and shopping, shopping, shopping. Meet HGTV's Terry Haas, animal communicator Polly Klein, and Seattle's hottest firefighters. March 4th through 6th at Quest Field Event Center. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
888-815-9756. Now, quickly, I want to mention to those of you in the Pacific Northwest, in March, there are two events coming up. The first and foremost is the Northwest Women's Show. You've been hearing some of the commentaries on that. Just know this is a dynamic event. I'm pleased to be a part of it. I'm going to be in booth number 407, but also I am going to be given a women's forum on Friday. I will be having six speakers. The first hour from 11 until noon is going to be about quantum health and wellness and energy healing. The second hour from 1 until 2 will be about animals and communication with animals, etc. And then 2 to 3, it's going to be about the law, domestic violence, juveniles, how the law applies to you. So there is a great deal that's going to be going on. I'm so pleased to be hosting this, and we've got six dynamic women there. At my booth, I'm going to have a plethora of books. Yes, it's that time of year for me to clean out my library. Otherwise, we'd have nothing but a house of books here because of all the authors that I interview. But also, I want to let you know that I'll be doing many readings as well. So there's no appointments. People just come in and see me as the time is available. And then on Saturday and Sunday, respectively, at 1:30 and 1 o'clock, I am going to be speaking on the psychic mind and you. So that's what's coming up with the Northwest Women's Show. On March the 26th, a Saturday, I will be doing an appearance at the Emerald Spiral Expo, and that is a one-day event. It is wonderful. It is local in Kent, Washington, on the Kent Common. Now, for both of these events, go to the northwestwomenshow.com and emeraldspiral.com, and you'll find out all the details there. Caitlin is a woman that felt like she just did not have a lot of things going for her. She was working at a job she detested. She's in her 20s. She was going to school. She was feeling like she was a failure. Well, she just was beating herself up big time. And we can all have memories of doing that to ourselves. And she started thinking about what she was doing to herself, and she had a Post-it pad in her purse. She carried it around for making notes for her classes. And she took it out, and she wrote three words on that piece of paper that was on that pad. It was, or the words were, "You are beautiful." And she put exclamation points after beautiful. For some reason, she decided she was going to put it up in the bathroom where she was writing it. She didn't put it up on a mirror. She didn't know why, but it just made her feel good when she did that. Well, it wasn't too long after that that she started a blog, and she shared what she had done. She said, "I left a note, 'You are beautiful,' up on the mirror in a ladies' room, and I hope it'll boost somebody else's spirits as much as it boosted mine when I wrote it for myself." So, unknown to her, there was a 17-year-old girl that had walked into that bathroom. She was battling anorexia really, really badly. And that's a tragedy because this young lady was so thin, she was in a very dangerous physical condition. In fact, she had to have regular EKGs to monitor her heart because she was starving to death. And every time she looked in a mirror, she would just feel that she was hideous because of this mental image that she had. And inside of her, there was this voice that would say, "You're worthless." And she saw Caitlin's square piece of Post-it pad paper. In a split second, everything changed. Her mindset changed. And instead of purging herself, which is what she had gone into the bathroom to do, she walked out of that bathroom saying thank you because she felt stronger. She didn't stay. Well, what happened with Caitlin is that she decided she was going to create Operation Beautiful. In fact, you can find it. You can go to operationbeautiful.com because she wanted women to feel better about themselves. Do you know that within 24 hours, 75 women sent pictures of notes they had left on lockers and gyms, on shelves of bookstores? I mean, this is something that instantaneously got people's response. One person stuck on a pole at a subway station in Brooklyn, New York, three words on a Post-it pad slip: "You are loved." And there was a woman by the name of Krista, who's in Canada. She was posting notes all over the place with positive words. And she said the one that got the biggest kick out of was the one that said, "You're gorgeous." In Germany, a woman posted a note saying, "You are beautiful," beneath a stack of diet books. Guess how someone felt when they saw that. Well, she was putting them everywhere. Caitlin was so enthused about this because of the feedback she was getting from other people, and people were passing Caitlin's website address around on their notes as well. She was hearing stories from women around the world. And they said, "These little notes have made such a difference because I feel like somewhere someone believes in me." Someone in one place left a message, "You are good enough the way you are." Another young woman had been touched in a way because she felt that somewhere someone cared and she was okay being who she is. It is really amazing. These notes are changing lives. Every morning, Caitlin puts on her website an inspirational phrase like, "Change the way you see, not the way you look." And she's gotten more than 7,000 emails from army barracks in Iraq to shelters in South Africa to high schools and nursing homes from women who have read and spread her message. Now, not only are they using post-it notes, do you know they're actually putting sidewalk drawings out there? And they're developing signs declaring honk if you're beautiful. So she has got a book, Operation Beautiful, and I hope to have her as a guest, transforming the way you see yourself one post-it note at a time, because she said maybe this will even help more. She said we're too hard on ourselves. She's right. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Believe it. It's true. UFOs tomorrow. Fascinating stories, documented evidence. We'll talk to you then. Same time, same place. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.